Hello.
Is this recording? Are
we on? I don't even know. I don't even know if we're recording at this point.
I've trusted Mitchell to do all of this. I've done none of it. But welcome to our first episode of If the Boot Fits. As a wise man once said.
A wise man.
A wise man that I look up to very much in life. Woody from Toy Story once said that, and it's very true.
That is, do you not think? Yes, it is very true, very, very true.
And actually, the reason we called this podcast If the Boot Fits is because we both love Toy Story.
We do. It is an iconic film. It is an iconic film. You can't beat it.
It is an iconic film. If you don't like Toy Story, you're in the wrong place, because yes, we will probably reference Toy Story quite a lot.
Yeah,
probably
Disney.
Do a whole podcast talking about Toy Story, to be fair. Actually, maybe we could like
get Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Get Tom Hanks and
we could.
What's his name? Is it Bill Allen? Is it Bill Allen? Someone Allen?
Tim.
Tim Allen. Such a true Toy Story
get
fan.
Off the
right, well, I'm gone. I'm see you later.
Bill Allen.
Bill Allen. I was going to say Buzz Allen, and then that's
Tim Allen.
Tim Allen. Well,
so anyway, that's how the podcast name was formed.
Just for the love of Toy Story,
the
to be fair.
The love of Toy Story, but it's also such a true quote.
I feel like we do find ourselves saying it way too often. And then we actually just, well, it sparked in your brain, didn't it, actually, to be fair. I will give you the credit for that. And it actually is the name of the podcast now, isn't
well,
it?
Well, yeah. I was going to say it was going to be a segment on the podcast, and actually you said it should be the name.
I think it's quite fitting.
Yeah, I mean, do as well.
I mean, it's quite...
the boot.
It is quite fitting. To be fair, I feel like they don't know what they're in for, because I feel like we are just going to chat a load of nonsense. But I feel like, you know, I feel like that's more relevant than a lot of other things. So at least we're real. We're keeping it real. This is literally us.
So basically, there's about six people watching. Although we have put it out there to have some questions, and we've had quite a few responses.
We have had quite a few responses. So we should probably get going with those, because I feel like, well, we've already been recording for a solid 3 minutes, and we have just chatted
really?
Nonsense.
3 minutes?
It's been like the longest
well,
3 minutes in the world.
Actually, maybe we should introduce ourselves to the six people that are watching that probably already know.
Oh, well, yeah. Just in case.
In the off chance that some random is watching. So my name's Ella, and this is Mitchell. And
you're introducing me?
Yeah. Well, go on. Introduce yourself then.
My name is Mitchell.
There you go. Is that it?
That's all I have to say.
I've just turned 26 last Tuesday, actually.
It's my 21st birthday this year, everyone. I'm still a child.
It makes me feel old.
You are old. You're old.
I'm not
You're
old.
You're an old gal.
I'm not. Considering my 21st birthday was in lockdown, which feels like about 10 centuries ago.
That's actually vile, because I... Was,
we don't like when talking
lockdown,
about this
When
much.
Lockdown started, I was 15. And I turned 16.
Turnt.
Right. That needs to stop. Does anybody else say turnt? Or is it just
no.
me? Because I feel like I'm just illiterate.
I don't think anybody says that.
I am just illiterate. Maybe it's a Norfolk thing.
I've never
I have
heard
no idea.
Anyone say turnt.
Well, we met here, didn't we?
We did.
We both met here. And now we're in a loving, loving relationship.
Mm-hmm.
A very loving... That sounded really sarcastic. It is the truth.
Say.
That couldn't have sounded more sarcastic.
It
is the truth. I am not getting paid any money to say that for legal reasons.
Yeah, so that's it really. And we met performing and currently based in Warwickshire, and I really like it here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like it here?
It is. It's like a talk show host.
I don't know why I'm interviewing
you. I know you're just interviewing me. This is your podcast. I'm just a guest. No, I do love it here. Obviously, I'm originally from Norwich, so it's very, very different. But it's nice to be in the countryside, I think. And the sun's at the moment, the sun is shining, so it feels like we're in a different country. And the sights are absolutely beautiful as well.
Yeah,
I do live in a very nice area, and obviously, it's very nice.
Although I feel like where you are from is quite countrysidey.
Yeah, I mean, I do live in the middle of a field, so I mean, it's kind of... There's not really much there unless you travel out a little bit. But I suppose here we've kind of got the best of both worlds.
Exactly.
Being so near to a big city as well. So it's
exactly.
It's quite nice.
That's why I like it here.
Yeah.
Also, I'm from Barbados originally, which
Barbados.
Is only like an hour and... I think that was Mark that just went by there.
Was it Mark?
Hello, Mark.
Hello, Mark.
I'm from Derby originally, but I don't live in like Derbyshire. So obviously the Peak District is in Derbyshire. I live in Derby, in a little village called Micklover. Oh, and I'm diabetic, if anyone cares about that.
Yes, I'm
so
sure.
So, any diabetics, maybe we can do a little segment
maybe
about
we
that.
Do, yeah, maybe we do a little segment, you testing me, and we talk a little
Ooh,
bit.
Oh, yes.
Get some fellow diabetics on, maybe, as well.
Yes, I'm looking at you, Tom Barnwell. We have a friend. I know we'll get to the questions in a second, but we do have a friend called Tom who works with us too. Mm-hmm. They told him he was type 1. He's actually type 2, and he's now slowly reversing it. So, I'm getting left in the gutter from Tom. But hopefully he can come on the pod because at least he knows how it feels, you know?
Exactly.
So he is
actually like the most chaotic,
oh my God,
crazy,
yeah.
kooky
he is
bundle
chaos.
Of joy
yeah.
that I think I've like ever
we
been
love
around.
Him.
So it's he does bring a hell of a load of energy. So I think it's gonna
yeah.
it's gonna definitely bring some chaos to the podcast, which is probably even more so than now.
Okay.
But yeah, I feel like we should get into these questions now because I feel like we've been rambling on for now 7.5 minutes.
All right, well that's okay.
For context, we've created a social media page at If The Boot Fits Pod on Instagram. So go and follow us. It will appear on screen if you're watching on YouTube or Spotify actually, because you can now do video podcasts on Spotify. But for our audio listeners. Ella,
all six of them.
I feel like actually I'm going to describe we're going to describe each other for our audio listeners before we get started.
Oh, okay.
Just in case, you know.
But
for
do you
anyone...
want to describe me and I'll describe you?
Yes. Yeah, so Ella is
be careful. You stay.
She has a beautiful blonde hair. She's got blue eyes. Very beautiful face. She's got a Shania Twain white t-shirt on. I don't know if they
yeah.
can see it. They can see it on the camera, which is good.
I didn't even plan this. Has it got some boots on it?
It's got a
it
horse.
Has, is that
and
a
oh no, it has got two boots here. It's got two boots there. It's got two boots. For obviously, yeah, Shania Twain. So any Shania Twain fans out there, she's got it's got the tee on.
Yeah.
And she's got some blue jeans on as well. And she's got a well, you've got to describe it.
Blue jeans.
And then she's holding microphone with a lovely pink foam cover as well, which is really cool. We ordered
pink.
These. Also, Amazon, since when have you been delivering things in clear packaging? Not that I'd ordered anything bad, but like I've never known Amazon to deliver in clear packaging, which is weird. I feel like I'm digging myself a major hole right now. But you know what? It's fine.
What suspicious
anyway.
Things have you been ordering?
Anyway.
Anyway, let me describe
I feel like you should
you.
Describe me.
Mitchell's a lovely looking chap. Oh. He's got a cap on right now, New Balance cap.
Cap.
Little cap wiggle. He's got some glasses on. He's got a little beard going on.
got a little beard.
Got some blue going on.
Got some blue going on.
Got a brown t-shirt on. It says collusion. Blue jeans. Holding a black microphone. Very handsome. Blue eyes. That's all I can say, really.
Oh, well, aren't you just the nicest, just the sweetest girl? All right.
Okay.
I feel like we should do that in every episode, actually, just in case. So,
describe.
Yeah, I feel like we should describe what each other's wearing and things like that.
Yeah, could do.
All right. I think it's question time.
Should we get into the questions?
Yeah.
We don't have that many, but...
No, we have enough to cover. From the amount that we talk, we've probably got...
Yeah.
Probably got enough.
Question time. First question. How were both your training experiences for the musical theatre / performing industries?
Oh, I feel like you should go first on this one, because we were both very, very different.
Yeah.
I suppose with yours being like close to lockdown as well, I think yours was...
Yeah, so most of mine happened in lockdown. So I only had a normal first year. So I trained at a place called LCPA in Leicester. It's basically a musical theatre college, and you go there for 3 years and get a musical theatre level 6 diploma, which I have got. But I only had a normal first year, really. And obviously first year, you're still sort of settling into everything, but I had a very normal first year. And then within like the first couple of months of second year, COVID hit us. And I think we got sent home for majority of second year and the whole of third year. So... I mean, most of my training was done online, which is kind of annoying. But my first year was incredible. And I still had a great time. But yeah, a lot of it was COVID. So I suppose my experience was a bit dampened by that, really. Because I only really got one like show. And that was my first year show. And we did, I want to say we did, oh, I don't remember. I actually don't remember.
It was a musical.
Yeah. You did a musical. Oh, wait. No, we did Cabaret.
Cabaret?
Yeah, we did Cabaret. Really? Well, it wasn't our musical, it was the whole college. But what I'm saying
even
is...
Even that, I feel like that's quite...
We had like, the first years had like one song and dance, and then it was like the third year musical, you know. But what I'm saying is, we never got a second year musical or a third year. So we rehearsed, we did the Addams Family in the second year.
I remember you said that.
But we never got to do the show because lockdown.
Oh.
And then third year was our time to have a show. And we never got that either. So we did like an online, it wasn't even online. I think they just filmed us doing stuff and put it in to like, I don't even know. It was basically a filmed show for our parents to watch and that was it.
Oh.
So obviously all the Asian auditions and stuff were very different because it was all done on Zoom. So half the time you couldn't even see us because it was like cut off. So yeah, I mean, I did love it and I made some friends there for life, but it's very tough. Like first year, oh my gosh, very, very hard, like fitness wise and stamina. And like, there was a lot of tears in first year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think first year is always the one where it's like, that's the one where I think you kind of find out if it's for you.
Exactly. But
not
I'm
even
not
necessarily
quitter.
Performing, but I mean, like, even just drama school as a whole, I feel like, I mean, every drama school is very, very different.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, mine was like lovely. Like, the teachers and everyone was so nice, but it was still brutal.
Yeah.
And also, like, I don't know, like, you get forced to do everything that you hate as well. Like, I hated ballet, I hated jazz. I was like a singer first. Mm-hmm. I only really liked commercial dance and that was the only thing I was really good at, and tap.
I always find that those two go hand in hand. Like when you're good at commercial, I find you're really good at tap. I think it's because it's like rhythm and different parts of the music, I suppose. Whereas, I don't know, I find jazz and ballet are obviously quite regimented in a way. Because it's very technical. It's a lot of technique, which absolutely is a baseline for everything, really. Yeah. You know,
It is, yeah. But I'm like not a technique person. And also I went to college and I was very like not flexible. Like I suppose for the average person I was quite flexible, but not for a dancer.
Yeah.
So that I found that really hard because we'd be in like stretch and flex class and everyone in my class was really tricky and like flexible. And I felt like they were all really, I don't know, like everyone was just so bendy. And I was there like a literal ironing board, like trying to do like... trying to do like the splits and almost breaking my legs and it just wasn't
unless you've been doing the splits like consistently or like tumbling and gymnastics since like the age of 3 when you practically have no bones in your body.
Exactly.
It's one of those things where it's merely impossible to then do it.
Exactly.
When you get older.
I feel like growing up I was never in those classes, like the serious dance classes. I was just in the fun dance classes and I just like the routines we did when I was little, really chill, really fun, just cute, like little bits of cheerleading and stuff. So it's not like from a young age, it's not like I was like stretching and like technical, if
but
that makes sense.
Then on the other hand, this might be quite controversial as well, sorry to any fellow performers out there. Ooh. I feel like the people that went to those classes, like the ones that weren't like ISTD or IDTA, have much more stage presence. Like, I feel like, yes, the people that have got ISTD and done all those qualifications have technique. But also, I also find that the people who have done that, who then go to drama school, have to unlearn everything that they've learned. Because half the
time,
it's not actually technically correct out of an exam board environment.
Yeah, that's true.
And then also, it's really hard to perform ISTD. Because again, it's one of those things where it's quite regimented and, you know, very technical. And you've given a score off loads of different things. Whereas... you know, when you go to drama school, you know, a lot of it, you can be the most incredible dancer in the world or incredible singer, but holding an audience and like keeping their attention is completely different to kicking your leg up 180 degrees.
Exactly. But that's what you learn in college as well. Like, oh, did you hear that? My ankle.
That was cracked. A click.
Yeah. I don't know if you heard that through the microphone.
It's because you didn't go to those stretching lessons.
Exactly. Stretch and
that's
flex.
That's what happens.
Miss Gemma, stretch and flex. I mean, I did love it. Don't get me wrong. She did make it fun. But it wasn't fun when we all had to stand up and do a balance and a trick. And my balance was literally standing on one foot and my trick was a cartwheel. Meanwhile, everyone else is doing like tricks and flips and they're doing that thing with their leg.
Oh, yes.
I'm not even going to attempt it. But yeah. Anyway, enough about me. What was your experience in the training for the industry?
I went off at the age of 18. I went to a drama school near Birmingham, or in Birmingham, I should say. So again, not too far at the moment, are we? So we're still quite close. And you know what? I absolutely loved my first year. It was brilliant. You know, again, I'm not the world's strongest dancer. I've always been a singer first, or what I'd like to call singer first. I'd like to think I can kind of move, but again, it kind of comes to...
Yes, you can kind of move.
Well, to be fair, the people I work for, they do say I have the hips.
Yes.
For salsa.
The grannies love your hips
Yes, the grannies love my hips.
They love the salsa classes.
Yes, and I loved my first year. Like I said, you know, I've met some absolutely wonderful people. I had some amazing tutors and things. But second year came around again. I'd spent the summer in between first and second year gigging again. Because you know, it fills the time. It's like once, twice, three times a week. So I was doing that throughout the summer, and it was again one of those things where it was like, I really like doing this, because again, it was really varied, you know, going to loads of different places in the country, singing with different musicians and different bands and things like that, meeting loads of different people. It wasn't very repetitive, whereas, you know, sometimes, you know, routine can sometimes be quite daunting, I suppose. It's one of the things where, yeah, it's a bit daunting sometimes. I quite like a bit of change. And then I went back for my second year, and I was there for 2 months, I think, into second year, and it was taken over by a new company. And it was one of those situations where, you know, everything's apparently going to get better and more improved and better facilities and whatnot. And it kind of just went a bit downhill. I'm not going to name the drama school, but it's, you know, people that I went with, you know, there's still people, most of my year group still stayed. So they kind of saw the change through, and that worked for them. But for me personally, it wasn't really the one. And and then I left drama school. I started gigging again with bands pretty much all the time, which was really nice. Actually started to become a lot more independent. I began working with a company called Perfect Productions, and are now part of a lot of their shows that they do back home in Norwich.
So what would you rate your drama school experience out of 10?
A solid like 4. And that's just because you. That's not really like because of them. I suppose it's just kind of like where my interests lied. But you know, I still absolutely love musical theatre, and you know, I still am partially working in that environment, I suppose, and you know, I want to eventually head back into it, but at the moment I'm loving the singing life. And again, like I said, I'm doing more theatrical shows outside of work.
We've literally been answering this one question for about
25 minutes.
We've gone off on a bit of a tangent.
I feel like we need to go back on track. I feel like that's kind of both
we
questions
need to
answered.
Get back on track. Yeah. Right, so the original question was, how were both your training experiences,
which was pretty, you know,
so I would give my training experience a 7 out of 10.
Yeah,
purely because of COVID. Mm-hmm. Because if my whole 3 years was like my first year, I would have had a whale of a time. Because first year was genuinely the best year ever. And it's also the year where everyone's getting along, you know.
Exactly. I feel like, yeah.
It all starts to go downhill when people start getting catty.
Yeah.
And there's fallouts. Mm-hmm. And that's when I'm like, I'm out of here.
It is, yeah.
And it's going to happen in those environments.
Oh, yeah. But the thing is, though, I feel like it happened in the drama school, but it, you know, it happens later in life as well. It's, you know.
Yeah, you can't really ever get rid of that.
Exactly.
Shall we move on to the next question?
You can only watch one film or series for the rest of your life. What would it be?
Toy Story.
Toy Story.
No, yeah.
And it doesn't have to be like,
I could you watch can watch Toy
the
Story
whole you can watch the whole Toy Story franchise as well. It doesn't just have to be.
Oh
one
yeah.
I actually have an answer for this, and it's still just, I feel like it's just as childish.
Shrek. Can I guess? Oh,
were you gonna guess that?
I was gonna say SpongeBob.
Oh well, no, that's a series though, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
So it would either be, so I'm gonna go with Shrek the movies, but Shrek 2 is 100% the best one.
A lot of people are like weirdly obsessed with Shrek.
It's, I feel like it's just lighthearted, and yeah, the fairy godmother is just iconic, isn't she? Really, she is a bit of a ledge.
Shrek. So what about series? SpongeBob? Benidorm?
Oh, I do love a bit of Benidorm. Benidorm's really funny, but I feel like only up until like only when the Garveys are in it, like the main original OG characters are in it.
Yeah.
When they changed the family, it kind of went a bit downhill because it had to become a bit more PC and they couldn't get away with saying half the stuff that he said in the first few series.
And that's what makes it so funny.
And that is what makes it funny. Like,
it is.
Admittedly, like, any of those things I wouldn't actually find funny, but I think the funniest thing is just how like nonchalant they are to it all and what they're saying. Like, it is absolutely diabolical, but that's what's funny about it. And it's just Madge and like the things she comes out with. She is just a legend.
I'm trying to think. So obviously Toy Story is like up there because I feel like I can just watch them on repeat. I can't even, I feel like I've watched Toy Story like more than I could say. Because I know every word, especially Toy Story 1.
Oh, yeah, Toy Story 1.
And my favourite, my other favourite quote from Toy Story 1.
I know exactly.
And I just love it so much. It makes me laugh every time. And I'm pretty sure it's in the same scene as If the Boot Fits. And it's where Buzz goes.
Yeah, I think he responds.
Yeah, oh, it's where Buzz goes, "You are a sad, strange little man. You have my pity. Farewell." And it's just, that's just iconic to me. Like, what better way? I just, it's just funny.
Yeah,
like,
I feel,
and also when you watch Toy Story back, when you're an adult, you realise it's actually quite, there's a few little innuendos and stuff.
Yeah, there's quite a few. Like, it's the same as SpongeBob though as well.
Yeah,
SpongeBob's
yeah.
terrible for some
it's
of the things.
It's like when Buzz's wings pop up after Jesse does the thing. That bit cracks me
but
up.
But that's what's funny about it now. It is there are just some absolutely diabolical moments in child films.
I don't know if I've got a series.
But there's one in Shrek.
Is there?
With Lord Farquaad.
Really?
Yeah, when he's watching, he's I think it's the first one, and he's in bed. I feel like I shouldn't even discuss this on here, but it's funny.
Well, to our 6 viewers.
Exactly.
We're all fancy.
He's in the bed, and I think he's watching TV, and through the duvet cover, you can see his...
What? Okay.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah, I feel, I feel like, unless I've been, I definitely haven't been gaslit because I've watched the film back and
it's like the Mandela effect.
Yeah,
it actually never happened.
But it is actually there.
I mean, classic for me is Gossip Girl. I just love Gossip Girl. And I just think I could watch that on repeat because it's quite long as well. And a lot of drama happens. Anything like chick flicky, I love,
Pretty Little Lies. I do like that. I have watched that religiously.
What is your favourite show you have ever performed / what would be your dream show? My dream show is probably Waitress because I'm obsessed with Waitress and I literally would love to be in that. Like, and I want to play Dawn. I want to play Dawn because she speaks like this.
Speaks like this. I don't know why I'm Australian. Dawn's Australian now.
She speaks like this.
Well, you're never ever getting rid of me.
So yeah, Dawn in Waitress. And my favourite show I've ever performed. I don't know what my favourite show is that I've performed.
It's got to be Legends of the Folk. It has to be Legends of the Folk.
It's definitely not Legends of the Folk. I don't know. You answer first and I'll think about
it. Okay. It's not even a professional production that I did, but the quality of it.
Oh, it doesn't have to be professional. I'm thinking like Amdram.
100%.
Priscilla?
I mean, it's got to be Priscilla. Like, I had the most fun on that show. Like, I met like the most incredible people. It was always, always a laugh. Like, there was never a dull moment. And, you know, like, it was, you know, we treated the rehearsal process seriously and stuff like that, but it was never tense. It was never
tense. Were you the dance captain for this?
I was the dance captain.
I think I was whipping them all into 17. Shape.
I was 17 and a dance captain.
All these like 20-year-olds
for like 20 years.
Who's a 17-year-old telling me what to do?
It was brilliant, and I had a great time. We actually had to teach someone the show about a week before the show started because the person who directed the show was also playing the lead, and his appendix went.
Oh no!
His appendix went, so we had to teach the show.
Oh gosh!
To somebody who came in,
bit of excitement,
And it was hard.
Him,
it was that was like the one stressful moment because it was so near showtime. You know, then it's to refit all the costumes and things like that, swap costumes around,
that
and it
sounds stressful.
It was a lot. Like, it's not just a case of teaching someone the show; it's everything else that goes around it. You know, you've then got to redo all the promo with the programs and things like that as well, and you know, make sure everything fits and everything like that. And it's, but he was a professional. He was really, really good. He was absolutely great. But again, it was very different from anything that I'd done before. You know, dancing in heels, like I said, was a chore in itself.
Yeah, you're telling me.
Managing. Yeah, I don't know how you do it, to be fair. And then managing the costume weight and things like that was a chore. But like I said, it was just such a fun show. And it was for a whole week, which was nice. It wasn't just a couple of shows.
Yeah, that's good. But normally with AmJam, it's like...
Yeah, normally it's like a couple, like three days maybe. But we did eight shows, I think, so... Huh? It's quite nice.
Pretty good.
What about you? What was your favourite show?
Well, now I'm thinking about it. I'm actually going to go and say 13 the Musical. Mm. And I did 13 the Musical when I was 14, I think. But honestly, I think it's the most fun I've ever had.
I feel like we need pictures on the screen.
Okay.
I will show you some pictures. This the other day, didn't you?
And my like co-star.
I was going to say, hang on a minute. Yeah, I was about to
my
say.
My co-star in 13 at, I think it was a little theatre in Derby. She's now doing Six and Hamilton.
That's crazy.
So that's pretty cool. But yeah, she played Lucy and I played Kendra. But I was literally 14. So yeah, it wasn't
14
like
14 in 13, the Musical.
Yes, I know. Illegal.
Illegal casting.
But I don't know. I just had a real good... Like, that show is so good. And obviously Ariana Grande was in it, wasn't she? On the on Broadway.
Liz Gillies.
Yes, and it's just such a good show. And I don't think enough people do it. But that, I remember just having the best... time ever. Like, I know I was young, but that was the best time. And I also loved doing Phantom of the Opera. That was really fun. Ooh. Because I got to go on point and I liked that because it was quite fun. And that was really good because it was definitely like, I feel like the amateur productions are way more enjoyable and fun.
Exactly. They're a lot less stress.
Like, there's no stress and everyone's just there because they love it.
Not
and it's not like,
be, yeah.
Oh, like there's no moaning. I don't remember any moaning or any negativity. It was just all positive vibes. We were all just like there because we loved it. We were all so enthusiastic. And then like, I remember every time we finished a show, especially 13, like I think there's a picture. If I can find it, I'll insert it. Well, you can insert it. But there's a picture of me at the end, like, that is actually crying my eyes out because I just didn't want it to end and I had the best time. So probably that, to be honest.
That's what it was like. Yeah, that's literally what it was like with Priscilla as well. It was like, I feel like as soon as it happened, like after the shows are finished, it was just like my personality trait for a year was that's all I'd talk
about. I know.
Because it was just, even though it was like a year later, like it was just the most incredible thing. And like the costumes were amazing.
There's nothing quite like it. There's nothing quite like an AmJam. Like that was my whole life when I was growing up and I loved it. And I'd still do it now.
Oh, yeah,
100%. Even though we are now like professional, we get paid to do it. I would 100% do an AmJam because it gives you opportunities that you probably wouldn't get. Like if it was an amateur production of Waitress coming near us, I'd 100% be auditioning.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Because that's like my dream, whether I'm paid to do it or not.
Exactly. Sometimes it's like, again.
Oh no.
It needs to, it can bring the spark back.
No.
We just had a technical error. It's fine. We're still recording. It's just the iPad that's going to have a moment.
It can bring that like love of performing back out of you.
Yeah, because you're surrounded by everyone who wants to be there. Like everyone loves it. You're not doing it because they have to or it's not a chore to anyone. It's just because they love it so much. And actually, I've met some of the most talented people that I've ever
worked with.
Oh my God,
yeah.
On the show.
There's people like... Yeah, there's people that I did like AmJam with that literally, well, some of them, like I say, did end up going to do West End stuff. But
oh, yeah.
Some of them didn't, but should have done because they were literally incredible.
Mm.
Like the guy who played Phantom for us, he was absolutely amazing. Like he could have been in the West End, 100%.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's 100%. But, like, everyone always has like hidden talents as well. You know, we're working with like... teachers and illustrators as well who just loved performing. Like Nick Gordon, like I think he was in Norwich doing like an art
shout
course.
Out Nick. Yeah, exactly.
And he designed all the artwork, like designed the posters, the covers, everything. Like, he was incredible. And then he does obviously drag as well. Jester Mirage as well. He's great.
I don't think you said your dream show, did you?
Oh, I haven't said my dream show.
Because we're rambling again. What's your dream show? I think, to interject, but I think Mitchell would be amazing in Waitress as Ogie. And I also think you'd be great in The Book of Mormon.
They are two on my list. I very much like the contemporary musicals.
Yeah,
like,
same.
That's why, I think that's also why I loved Priscilla so much. It was a jukebox, but it was all like disco, Gloria Gaynor. I can't even think of who else. Like... Raining Men, things like that, were all in there. So it was quite a good show, quite a good mix. Book of Mormon, Waitress. I don't know. I would quite like to do like something like Anne Juliet or something like that, because I do love the music in it.
I feel like you could be Romeo.
I do quite like it how like lame he is. In Anne Juliet, he's just a lame character.
Yeah.
And it's quite funny. I do like playing a loser sometimes. SpongeBob. I would love to do SpongeBob. That's another one.
Yeah.
That's a dream.
I was going to say, so my recent dream show that has just transpired in the last month or so is Starlight Express.
Oh, that I didn't even mention that.
Just purely because I love... Pure. That's another word you say. Pure. Just purely because I love a challenge, and I just think how cool would that be to learn how to roller skate and also do that show.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like watching it thinking, I want to do that. So that's my recent. So Waitress, Starlight Express. But I'd be happy to be in anything, to be honest. Like literally anything just would be my dream.
Yeah, I mean, Starlight Express would be a good one. I would like to definitely audition for Rusty. So again, Pearson Casting, if you're watching this.
Rusty.
Available.
Maybe a
for
good Rusty.
Auditions.
I am available.
I am available.
No, you're not.
I'm joking. Yeah, I feel I did like Starlight Express. It was incredible. It was incredible. Plot is just utter nonsense though. Like
brain rotting.
It
nonsense.
Is like a brain rot musical. Like I don't know how Mr. Andrew Lloyd Webber has composed the musical that's like 2.5 hours long based on trains racing each other. Because that is all it is.
Yeah, but it works and it's great.
But it works and people are paying to see it and it's incredible. Amazing. And it's been going for years. So
yeah.
Actually he's done all right for himself. Tell us one time you hit the most duff note at a gig or performance.
Well, I can tell you last night for a start.
It happens more often than not.
It happens all the time.
People who are like the most professional people in the world make mistakes more often than you realize.
Oh my goodness. That's why like in the West End and stuff, they don't like the bootlegs because they're like, I'm not going to be on top form every single night. And the fact that it's live theater is great because people watch it. If a crack happens or something happens, it's fine. It passes by. But if someone's filming it and then it goes online, that is normal.
Yeah. So
and like if I was getting filmed every night, you could probably put a compilation together of like 150 times that I've been like,
oh, 100%.
Like all the time.
100%. That's for me as well. What would you say is like your most like memorable one that's like, you know, if it's been like a key moment?
Well, I can tell you two things actually. I can tell you when actually this has happened to me twice. I sing a song at work called Working My Way Back to You. It's a classic. Spinners, or you know, Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. Both of them did it. Mm-hmm. But basically there's a key change in that song.
Oh,
and I started the key change completely early because sometimes I do this thing where I've skipped ahead. I will zone out on stage and I've skipped ahead to the end of the songs. So I'm like, I've been working my way back. Like,
and it's an instrumental.
It's an instrumental. Not only is it an instrumental, but it's also obviously not the right key. So I've sounded like I've come in just completely out of tune. The whole band are like crying with laughter behind me. So anyway, that happened to me once and I thought never again. We've had this ongoing joke. And then like not even that long ago, like a month ago, it happened again because I was just spaced out. But that was one of the times. But then a duff note, what springs to mind for me is The Power of Love, Celine Dion. It's Celine Dion, isn't it?
Yes.
I think it is.
I believe so. Don't cancel Ella.
You are my man.
Sorry, that was awful. I'm going to double check this, but you carry on the story.
I'm pretty sure it was Celine Dion. Anyway, of course, like, what more can I say on that? Except I literally went, because I'm your lady. And like, have you guys seen that video of that Elsa that's like, is it not Celine Dion? Who is it?
She did a version of it.
Oh, okay. Well, wasn't that fun? So who is it then?
It was Jennifer Rush.
Oh, okay. Well, in my head, it's Celine Dion.
Yeah, but I'll give you that. It might be Celine Dion.
And I couldn't get it back. It was sort of just... and it was the longest... Because it's a held note, obviously. And I was like, oh, God. Like, get me off the stage now. And that was awful.
It does feel like eternity, doesn't it? Like when it happens.
Oh my God.
It's literally, and to be fair, the audience would probably not have even noticed. Like half of these things that have happened.
I think they
Either that or someone's tipping them off and like being like, don't say anything. Like,
no, they definitely notice. But they notice at the time and then they forget like 2 seconds after.
Yeah, well, that's but the perks of
have you seen that video of that Elsa that it happens to? I can't remember which bit of the
song
it
is. When she's doing the costume change?
It might be
change.
Like, the past is in the past.
She's doing the costume change. I think she's stuck in the costume.
That,
yeah.
That was basically what I did. And I felt awful for that performer because that happens all the time. It's just really not filmed. And if that had been filmed for me and put online...
She could have been like absolutely like incredible the night before.
Oh my God. Like, well, yeah, I'm sure she is because she was working for Disney. Mm. But like... That happens all the time, and that happens to me a lot. So that they were my two that stand out.
Oh, I've got a couple. I've actually got three. Two of which are very recent. The last one is the first time I did a show here in one of the shows. And I've actually got a wall print in like from Ella. And it's not even a note, but it's I'll explain.
A wrong lyric.
The first one that was most recent was... we do a show here and it's quite like it's all pop music and things like that, and we do a version of Signed, Sealed, Delivered, and it was a matinee, it was an afternoon. I'm pretty sure we'd been to Bottomless, I think this was the day we went to Bottomless Brunch the day before, so my voice wasn't great. But also like this never happened before in this song anyway. Signed, Sealed, Delivered, and it's like a fool I went and stayed too long. But I literally was like a fool, I went and stayed too long. But it just went on. And like, I had to really contain my laughter. And it's harder when people on stage are laughing as well. And like, I had to like take my mic down and just go, oh my God, when I did it. And then just carry on and smile through it. But the hardest thing is when other people are laughing on stage. Mm. The other one is... well, these last two are actually in the same show, but this one's been happening more recently. We do a Queen section, and I sing quite a high part in Somebody to Love. It's like, my heart and pit all on my own, whatever key it's in, and I sing that bit. There's been times where I've cracked on that. That's quite noticeable.
I've never noticed that, but
it's
anyway.
A creative choice.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Creative choice.
Always.
And then the last one... isn't like a note or anything, it's just words. So it's the first time I'd done this rock show. Again, we're doing a Meatloaf section at the end of the show. I'd do anything for love, but I won't do that. And the lyrics are, I'll never stop dreaming of you any night of my life. No way. I decided to come out with, and I'll never dream of you any night so strong in my life. No way. Again, in my mind, I knew I'd gone wrong and it felt like an eternity.
Sorry.
This one is voice noting me.
No,
after
I
it
was
happened.
Gone. No, I was
the
actually
the voice
gone.
Notes I was receiving from Ella, just crying. Even like days after, we'd be having a different conversation. You'd be like, I've just been watching that video again. It's on video. Again, I'm going to insert a video on the video version of this podcast. In the moment, it felt so much longer and so much worse. But actually watching it back, at least they didn't stop singing. Because there are some people, Hannah Brown, if you're watching this, who are singing Hamilton and just go, higher is funsy. And that's it. Or they go, and it's like... Do you know what?
You did commit.
Because
you committed.
Yeah, I did commit.
But it was just words were just coming out. And the thing is, like, the funniest thing about that was we were all looking at you. It's like, but I won't do that. Yeah. And then he starts singing. And also, I was a goner. Like, I was laughing. I was laughing down the microphone. Like, can you hear me at the end? Like,
Everyone was gone.
So and then, we're not that professional, really, aren't we?
I think the worst mishap that's happened, even worse than that, was when I actually got told off again. Hannah Brown, sorry.
sorry.
Me and Georgia did get told off in a Christmas show. Actually, because of a mishap that she did. So actually, it's kind of her fault. And it was... we opened the show in with All I Want for Christmas,
And for some reason, the music came through our inners, so we thought the show had started. Hannah stood there going, ah, curtains aren't open. She's like trying to fight her way through the curtains. Then we don't start the show, so all you can see and hear out the front is, ah.
Like the ghost of it's like the ghost Christmas
of
past.
The ghost of Christmas, and then we're giggling at that throughout the first opening number. Second number, I'm fine. I'm singing Jingle Bells with Hannah and Georgia. Absolutely fine. I come face to face with Georgia like this to sing and be all your Christmas. Her shoulders are like this, trying not to laugh, trying to keep it in. I'm having to sing this part of this song, and she's a goner. I'm a goner. I'm laughing into the microphone.
I was watching this show, actually. It's the one Christmas show I decided to watch.
It was and bad.
I was like, what video as is well. Going on?
That's got to be on video.
It is, because I Hannah's set got up a video the iPad.
Right,
it
I must find that video. Anyway, that's pretty much all we've got time for. But like we said, we are going to get a few guests on maybe as well. Have a little segment where we talk to some people, some close friends in the industry and out.
Yeah.
But some apart family. From that, I think that's everything. And go and follow us on Instagram as well, at IfTheBootFitsPod.
And yeah. You know, always remember, if the boot fits...
Wear it. Yeah. I think that's a good point to finish on, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, okay. We will see you later on. Thank you very much for listening.
Bye.
Bye.